and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets and the back.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 15th day of March 2005. And we're discussing on today's program something that has just recently come to my attention. I've actually witnessed this myself. Last hour we had Mary Leto, the executive director of Morgellons Research Foundation, along with Dr. Douglas Buckner. He's the associate director, along with Ken Schwartz and their PR guy, Ken Coles, to try to get some public attention on this. And this is real difficult. This is a difficult time. With the overt threats as described by our government, we may be subject to biological or some sort of attack here in the United States. This is tying up a lot of time and resources and energy of people in the health field out there right now. All the while, we're battling new diseases, newfound diseases, diseases that are morphing, becoming more antibiotic-resistant diseases. They're having to come out with brand new, better ways to kill bugs. This may not be the most conducive time in which to launch an investigation on a new pathogenic bacteria, but that's in fact what we're dealing with. I've got Ginger Savely online. I hope I pronounced your last name correctly.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate you coming on. Ginger, now you're a nurse practitioner in Austin, Texas.
Yes, correct? I am. Mm-hmm.
And you are currently treating 30 Morgellons patients.
I think even a few more than that now, because okay, new ones are coming in all the time.
And as a nurse practitioner, I mean, I would think that this would be a doctor, Ginger. I don't mean to slight you here, but mm-hmm. Why a nurse practitioner and why is not a doctor in Austin, Texas right now treating people?
Well, I think one advantage that we nurse practitioners have is that we're in a position sometimes to be a little bit more able to look at things in a fresh new way, to listen to patients longer, to not have to be bound so much by the rules and regulations of the whole medical world.
Yeah,
you know?
Because a doctor, a patient comes in, they have to screen the patient, they listen to the complaints. Based on their experience, they try to line up the symptoms and the complaints with a disease or a malfunction in the human body.
Right. And pretty much if it doesn't fit in with what they learned in med school, sometimes they're a little perplexed, and the next thought is usually just move on to the psychiatrist. That's the next thing. But I think one thing that nurse practitioners can often do is be a little bit better about thinking outside the box and really looking at the whole situation with the person as their environment, their family situation, everything. And I find this illness to be extremely fascinating, and I'm absolutely amazed that there aren't more medical care workers who are interested in it.
Well, you probably heard me say that I'd seen somewhat of a research paper that was done back in 1935.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they didn't know what they were looking at then, and it was described as being akin to a plague. Now, whether or not that was Morgellons, indications are that it very well may be. But the point is that this is not exactly new, but if it's not new, it's making a strong comeback, and it's making the rounds.
Right.
We'll take the break here. We've got to take a break. We've got a longer segment coming up, and also have, we're going to open up the phones here to people that have had... They're familiar with this. We'll be right back.
What doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cardivite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoons, but since Cardivite, that's all changed now. I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cardivite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cardivite.
We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, HeartDrop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you wash them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanols, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calbend Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calbend Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbendPureSoap.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
This hour of the National Intel Report, we are discussing Morgellons. This is a bacteriological pathogen. Not a whole lot of people have discovered this. At least the doctors don't know about it. And there's a lot of people desperately trying to inform the doctors. But, you know, when you're trained, in a certain field, ladies and gentlemen, you sometimes have a tendency to be a little too smart for your own good. Anybody that's had the experience of taking a car to a car mechanic and you trying to describe the sound that your car is making and it's unrelated to what the mechanic is thinking that it actually is. It's kind of a hit or a miss deal. But this is a real disease. It is affecting people. As Ginger Savely will tell you that she's treating 30-plus people in Austin, Texas for this right now. And Ginger, I wanted to ask you how you got involved in this, when you got involved, and what made you get involved in this, and how did you have 30-some people show up on your doorstep for treatment of this?
Well, I've had a interest in treating Lyme disease for a while now, and that's become sort of a specialty of mine. And about 10% of my Lyme patients tend to have this co-infection, I guess you might call it, of Morgellons. And so that's how I started to see this. At first, I wasn't really aware of it, but I started to have more and more of my patients tell me that they were having little fibers and strange things coming out of these lesions on their skin. And then when I heard about the Morgellons Foundation, I became more interested in the whole thing. And then next thing you knew, I was being interviewed on TV and all this. And then once people found out about me, then, you know, just sort of the floodgates opened and people have been calling and trying to get in. And it's kind of a hard now because people have to wait a while to even get in. So it's amazing how many people are out there and who have these symptoms. I was very surprised to find.
A little overwhelmed, maybe?
Yeah, it's, it's just a shame that there aren't more people interested in looking at this. I think if I were a dermatologist, I would find this to be one of the most fascinating things I'd seen in a long time.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's boring treating the same old thing. Eczema, seborrhea, psoriasis, you know, skin lesions, unknown little bumps that you put a topical ointment on or an antibiotic and it disappears never to be seen or heard from again. But this is different. This is different. By the way, the person I've been speaking about, Meg, that's in a hospital right now down in San Marcos, she initially went into the hospital, and she walked in. She's now in ICU. She is on a regimen of at least three, and these are the top antibiotics. But I got to tell you something. I have seen patients in delusional states before. I have seen just about every condition that mankind has suffered under. And this is one of the most pathetic because this is almost like a wasting away disease.
Mm-hmm.
But what's making it more difficult is even the doctor himself, even after speaking with Dr. Schwartz, has totally ignored this. That tetracycline is one of the antibiotics that can be treated. They even looked it up in a PDR, all these new snazzy and evidently antibiotics that are not hindering this but actually helping in the spread of it. But you can run the course of antibiotics, the tetracycline or whatever, you can run that in conjunction and there's no interaction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I see a person that's for reasons to, they have her tied down, they have her sedated, they have her on these major courses of antibiotics, and I'm seeing a person that's probably going to check out here in the next week or so.
Yeah, that's a very severe case. I haven't seen anything myself quite that severe, but I do see people that being driven to insanity by this illness, and there, it's really no wonder. To me, it's a living nightmare, the illness is. And just to add insult to injury, you can't get anyone to believe you or take you seriously. So,
And the patient themselves, there's a marked improvement in the coloration and the clearness of their skin. There's no outward signs of lesions anymore, but the lungs are shutting down. There is a severe staph infection in the lungs right now, and they're saying that, even if we do clear up this infection, she will probably have to be on an intubator for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but being Ginger, being a nurse practitioner, I can forgive ignorance. I cannot forgive stupidity.
Right. I can forgive ignorance, but I cannot forgive arrogance. And that's what I see a lot. People thinking that they know everything and not admitting that there may be some things that they don't know. And that's what we need, is more people to be open-minded enough to realize that there are things we don't know. We don't know everything, you know, and there may be something entirely new here that we're looking at that we can't really relate to anything else we've already seen. So we're trying to look at this from our standard paradigm of what we know, and maybe that's not the way to be looking at it at all.
Well, and we're almost, I don't know if this is the proper phraseology, but we're almost looking at an induced psychosis in this country now with the imminent threat of biological or some kind of attack here on the United States, whether it be, nuclear or biological or chemical or whatever the case may be. This is not an environment that's conducive to people looking at new and different things in the course of identifying a disease and then treating it.
Right. I would think, though, that it might be an environment where people will be more open-minded to looking at things, because I don't know, if we're worried about things like threats of bioterrorism and that sort of thing, wouldn't we want to be investigating every new and unusual type of illness that appeared? I don't know, that would seem logical to me.
All right, I've got loaded phones here, and
okay.
People that are just tongue-in-cheek here, just dying to talk about this. I've got Leon Day in Austin, Texas. Hello, Mr. Day.
Howdy.
I've
been listening to this, and my sympathies to Meg and everyone else who goes in and sees one of these super-educated doctors whose attitude is, I haven't seen it before, so it must be psychosomatic.
Well, at the very least, Leon, they should, you know, the more educated people become, the more centered they become in their attitudes and opinions. But if you're that educated, you should at least have enough education to admit that you could be or may be wrong.
When I first heard about this, I got some ideas and I went on to the Morgellon Foundation website. And I've actually got a picture of a critter that lives in these lesions, which is not bad at all. And so I said, okay, if you can actually see this thing with a Radio Shack handheld microscope, then it's too big to be a bacteria. It's got to be a parasite. So I got down my old clinical parasitology book from military times. And I started looking up schistosomiasis. Now, the reason I was concentrating on schistosomiasis is because it's endemic to the Middle East, and we've been messing around for a long time in the Middle East now. And it's also been endemic to Latin America, and we've been messing around in Latin America for a long time now. So this is a disease that most people might not be able to recognize, but I will bet you that there are a lot of military physicians who would glom onto it right away. Anyhow, that's my take on it right now. Now, if it is schistosomiasis, that makes things simple, because because people have known how to treat this with antimonial compounds for a long time. And I wonder if anybody has tried this.
And what was the course of treatment? What did you say it was?
Antimony compounds. Tartar emetic is an antimonial compound. And there are certain antifungicides that are also antimonial compounds, but they don't seem to work as well on most forms of schistosomiasis.
Well, because, I mean, as described by Dr. Schwartz and Mary last hour, that this can get into the musculature. I mean, it's just not cutaneous, but subcutaneous, but also deeper into soft tissue.
Well, schistosomiasis can get right into your liver. In fact, it can get right into your liver and kidneys, and that's the way it kills most people. See, there's a little history in this. Way back in 1949, the Chinese communists decided that they were going to make an attack on Taiwan, so they could cure this Chiang Kai-shek problem forever. And there was this one problem. They didn't have any landing craft. And that meant that their transport ships would have to anchor several hundred yards off the, offshore.
Yeah, and they'd have to debark and go on shore. Okay.
Right. And they didn't have any landing craft, so they figured that the easy way to do this was to just train everybody to swim with light weapons. So in the river estuaries of China, they started training soldiers to swim. Well, the soldiers all got schistosomiasis and went sick, so the invasion had to be canceled. See? And a lot of people, that's one of the footnotes of history that you pick up when you read the fine print.
Were you a doctor in the military?
No.
Okay.
No, I was a small arms repairman.
All right. Everybody hang on. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world, and Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Stadtmiller here, and yes, I did find the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. With the help of my good friend Robbie Noel, we've started the Republic Trading Group, a company dedicated to serving RBN listeners with the best service available.
Thanks, John. This week, Republic Trading has fractional gold on offer for a fraction over its melt value, a great opportunity to cash in your Federal Reserve notes now and save your wealth from going down the proverbial porcelain princess. Republic Trading does one thing very well, real discount prices and fast, secure delivery with no fuss or hassle.
A deal you're not likely to find anywhere else. For more information, call 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Mary Leto, the Morgellons Research Foundation head, back online with us. And, Mary, we're just going to continue with calls here.
Okay.
And Ginger, just hang on there. I have Lauren in Ohio. Hello, Lauren.
You.
Hi.
I tell you what, you were asking if this is biowarfare, and I'm going to tell you. You know those 60-plus dead microbiologists, the top in their field?
Last time I heard it was 52. There's 8 more gone now?
Well, I mean, there's more than that. I know one guy has documented 52, like, in one place, so you can look at them all. But I was watching it right after 911 happened. That's when they started dropping like flies, and the count was up near 80 last I checked, but I don't have, you know, the documentation. But don't you wonder why the top microbiologists in the field are dropping dead?
Well, I can conjecture here at this point.
Well, this is a globalist dream come true. So here's the deal. You know the flu shots that people are getting? I'm down here in Ohio, and we had a radio station talk show host get a flu shot. The whole station got contaminated with the classic Morgellon symptoms. The one talk show host has the brown lesions. The girl had the red lesions. My husband went over to take them some, you know, some MSM and some oregano oil and some, you know, to help him out. He walked in. He handed a bag across the counter. He left, and he got it. It starts out with a cough. You cough, just a dry hacking cough, no productive cough. But then you get into respiratory distress and chills and sweats and bleeding from the nose. That's what happened to me and one of my daughters. Everybody in the house got it except my son. And everybody got the lesions. It's like a thickening of the skin, red lesions that just starts kind of spreading across. It's disgusting.
Now, you were involved at one time. You visited many doctors' offices. You were in pharmaceuticals.
Oh, yeah. And okay. I sold antibiotics. And I'm sitting here. It's funny because when you mentioned the sulfa drugs, I actually sold Bactrim. So I just took a quick look in the book, the PDR, and I looked at the mechanism of action for Bactrim. I'm just going to read you this real quick. Bactrim blocks two consecutive steps in the biosynthesis of nucleic acids and proteins essential to many bacteria. Now I'm going to read you something from a brand new experimental drug, and it's called Plasmacin. It's not out yet, but I know about it because I know somebody that's on it, and that's a researcher for one of these big drug companies. Plasmacin contains two newly developed bactericidal components. One acts on the protein synthesis machinery by interfering with ribosome translation, and the other acts on DNA replication by interfering with the replication fork. This drug is designed to treat mycoplasma. This is a mycoplasma bioweapon. That's what's going on. They're giving it to us in the flu shot. And it's contagious just through coughing, it's highly contagious. But the thing is, we actually did the tetracycline route. My daughter and I almost died. I went down so fast and so hard, I couldn't believe it because I'm in reasonably good shape. I eat well. I know what I'm doing. And I was going to die. So, we went on tetracycline. Now, I took my daughters off of tetracycline to try and see if we could get them over this. And bottom line is, the one girl, her chest started filling up right away. You get a pressure in your chest. You just can't breathe. You know what? Bill Clinton, he's in there supposedly getting scar tissue out.
Right.
Baloney. He's got mycoplasma infection. You know the Pope? They had to put a tube in his throat. I called his personal physician. He's doing much better on tetracycline. Now, here's the deal, though. Tetracycline only inhibits the growth. It does not kill mycoplasma. Guess what I used to kill this? Because we have killed it. Everybody's fine. Everybody's off all the drugs. A frequency machine. I borrowed one from a friend. And I just want to read you real quickly. This is, you know, this particular one, but it will kill viruses, bacteria, protozoa, and parasitic worms. It kills yeast, mildew, slime molds, nanobacteria, mycoplasmas, fungus, and some warts. Okay, so the deal is, mycoplasma can only be detected if you do a mycoplasma PCR. That's preliminary chain reaction. You have to do this test because it has no cell wall. This actually is a cell-wallless little creature, and it hides inside the cell. And so the white blood cells cannot get at it and destroy it. And it sits in that cell and starts sucking up the cholesterol. All your cells in your body need cholesterol to live. So it sucks up the cholesterol, kills the cell, and then just moves on. So when you put these people on, like, penicillin or the cephalosporin antibiotics, the way they work is by breaking open the cell wall and dumping the contents out of the cell. Okay, you killed the cell, but mycoplasma doesn't have a cell wall. So it just migrates into another cell. You spread it faster when you use these other antibiotics.
And it's not like a cancer, because a cancer is actually an explosion. That's your body's natural reaction.
Well,
and
cancer is actually just a broken immune system.
Yeah.
You always have cancer cells in your body,
right,
but your immune system just eats them up. You look at AIDS patients. How come we don't die of pneumocystis pneumonia? Because your immune system works, it kills it. But when you have a patient with AIDS, his T lymphocytes are infected. He basically has an infection of his immune system. And so, there you go. He can't defend himself. He doesn't have the tools, the wherewithal to defend himself. So, but I was pretty impressed with this thing. Those frequency machines, I hear you have an ad running for the right frequency machines, and I'm not sure, you know, I just have the one that my friend gave me. But I'll tell you what, my daughter, she was bad off, and I just didn't want to keep her on the tetracycline. You know, 2 years of tetracycline will ruin your teeth.
I understand.
I've got a 4- and a 7-year-old.
I understand.
So,
all right. All right. Well, Lauren, I appreciate your input on this deal.
I thank you so much for your time, and I thank you for bringing this matter public.
All right. We'll be back with Mary Leto and Ginger Savely and the rest of your calls right after this break. A long segment coming up.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge.
Yeah!
That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Today, the media is flooded with reports of everything from antibiotic-resistant supergerms to the possibility of a dangerous cold and flu season. What will you do to keep you and your family healthy and safe? There is now a scientifically proven alternative with 7 years of clinical studies called Super Silver Solution. Super Silver's combination of supercharged silver and oxygen has been proven to kill hundreds of bacteria and to be at least up to 300% more effective than any other silver product on the market. Super Silver is the only patented silver product scientifically proven to kill the germs that cause colds, flu, sinus, eye, ear, and respiratory infections, and many more, yet completely safe for everyday use by children and adults of all ages. Call International Health now for a complete information pack with CD at 800-974-1879. Let the power of supercharged silver protect you and your family. That's 800-974-1879. We're so sure it works. In fact, we guarantee it. Call 800-974-1879 or visit supersilver.net.
Flood your body with oxygen. Now, why would anyone want to flood their body with oxygen? Obviously, our bodies love and need oxygen. If most disease-causing microbes can't live in active oxygen, and you safely increased your tissue and fluid oxygen levels, just like you were taking a supplement, what would happen? Hi, I'm Mr. Oxygen, Ed McCabe, and I wrote a big book about all known ways to supplement oxygen in the body. It's called Flood Your Body with Oxygen, Therapy for Our Polluted World. Get the details at OxygenHealth.com. OxygenHealth.com. You can get Flood Your Body with Oxygen at your local bookstore or order it by calling 800-247-6553. That's 800-247-6553. Thanks, and happy oxygen.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Online with us are a couple of people. We'll take these phone calls individually. I have Mary Leto. She is the head of the Morgellons Research Foundation, researching emerging infectious skin disease that seems to be more prevalent than I thought. And also Ginger Savely, she is in Austin, Texas, and she's treating more than 30 patients with Morgellons. And these are verified. This isn't a case where it's an unidentifiable skin disease and we just call it Morgellons. No, it's actually the Morgellons disease. And let's talk to Carla Scheiber. You have Morgellons. Is that correct, Carla?
Yes, sir, I do. However, I've never been diagnosed with it directly. Instead, my diagnoses have been delusional.
And this was according to your medical doctor, your internist?
Well, I've gone to a series of doctors, countless doctors, actually. It was through just a general physician, and she took a biopsy, which I was never able to see the results. She never showed me the results. She told me there was nothing in there, which there may not have been. From there, she sent me to a shrink. This shrink diagnosed me with PTSD. He said I was not delusional. From then, I changed insurances, and I'm now with the Veterans Administration. They set me up to go see somebody in San Antonio at one of the research hospitals, Audie Murphy, the research hospital there, which they reviewed my records before I ever got there. And before I even sat down, the big doctor told me, we cannot help you with your skin. We can give you medicines that make you perceive your skin in a better light, because there is nothing wrong with your skin.
Ginger, Mary, have you heard this kind of story before?
Over and over again. That's right.
Sir, they do not even look at my skin. They want to start by asking me childhood questions. I go in there, I have lesions over my entire body. I have fibers coming out of me. At one of the advice, I went and bought this little handheld microscope that you can get at Radio Shack for $10. You put it on your skin, and it's horrifying the things you see. You said earlier in the show you were getting scared. You should be. These doctors are turning us loose, wanting us to believe that it is in our head and we are crazy and there's no further action that we need. There has got to be research done for us.
Now, Ginger, are you familiar with Carla's case?
Only indirectly. I've never met Carla. I think I read the letter that she wrote to Senator Cornyn.
I would love to go see Ginger. However, when I started getting this disease, I quit my job because of my fears. It would just kill me to know that I am passing this to others, children or the elderly or just anybody.
Most of the people that have this disease are no longer working. Most of them are not functional. They are either too chronically fatigued or their brain function is so poor that they can't think clearly, they can't concentrate enough to hold on a job, and they're usually in a great deal of pain as well.
All of that, yes, sir. Ginger also said this is like a living nightmare because you want to go to your doctor and you put your faith and your trust into your doctor and your doctor does not even look.
Well, this doctor that you mentioned, and I know about the Veterans Administration. They're more in the cover-up business than they are in the curing business. I mean, this is an organization that people actually get paid bonuses for turning people down for treatment. So,
but however, when that is my only option, else am I to do?
No, I understand that, Carla, but to have you already diagnosed even before you pressed the flesh in a chair, so to speak, they already told you.
But this happened before I was in the VA system as well.
Okay.
This is not just the VA. This happened at a hospital where I went to the emergency room for the first two times. The second time I went in there, the doctor would not even come into the room. He stood at the doorway and diagnosed me from the doorway with scabies. How can he do that without looking?
I agree. I mean, you have to examine a patient, and that's what I'm hearing over and over from people, that they are told, without even being examined, that they are told from across the room that they're delusional.
Speaking of the Veterans Administration, we just notified the VA system that there are 17 veterans within the VA system, different states, several in Texas, that are trying to get help for this condition through the VA. We're hoping that the veterans are looked at as a specific group and looked at very, very differently than they had been before. We just turned this information over to the VA last week, so we're hoping to hear from them soon.
What was the response, Mary, when you contacted the VA on this?
Actually, we have not been in touch since we handed the information over to them. We wanted to give them a chance to look at it. I don't know, since we haven't followed up, but we will.
I would also like to point out the number of registrants that Mary mentioned and her opinion of it's far greater. I totally agree with this. On my personal level, my husband, my children, his children, my grandchildren, we are all affected. You know, and you don't, they don't all go on and register, but the numbers I believe if everyone was to register, it would be so overwhelming that it would be, I don't know how the public would handle this.
I understand. Hey, Carla, just hang on here for a second. Mary Leto and Ginger Savely, is there any indication how this is being transmitted? Lauren in Ohio said her husband just visited a place that they had it and just dropped something off. Evidently didn't come into a whole lot of physical contact. Any indications how this is being passed on to other individuals?
No idea. We have no idea. I can tell you that the one occupation that keeps coming up over and over again in our registrants are nurses. Nurses report this a lot. We don't know if it's because nurses have this more or because nurses are just more in tune with their bodies and we'll go searching for answers. We really don't know why that is, but there are a lot of nurses in this group.
Well, and it must be said that, you know, if you want to consider an epidemic, there are more people that die from hospital-related diseases, not the ones they showed up in the hospital with, but the diseases they pick up while they're either visiting the hospital or getting outpatient treatment. There's more people dying every year because of that.
Right. The hospital is a dangerous place.
Yeah, it is. Carla,
I would like to say this.
Yes, go ahead.
Because of all of my diagnoses that the doctors have given me, and I do suffer from PTSD now, it can be overwhelming to where, you know, you think there's no one out there to help you. I was at the point of wanting to commit suicide. So my husband took me to the doctor. But my whole point is, all I want is someone to look at my skin. They committed me for 3 days in the mental ward, and not even once did someone take the time to look at my skin.
That's right, and we did notify the Texas Department of Health that Carla was in the psych ward, that she had been suicidal because she couldn't get help, and we really were hopeful that they would help her at that point, the Texas Department of Health, and they essentially did nothing, unfortunately.
Carla, what is your condition right now?
My condition right now is lesions, threads, creepy crawlies, my mental fog. If I just try to stay up with my family, you hear how I sound today, because I did. I tried yesterday so desperately to stay up and have family time. You know, that's what we all want to do. And I can't do that no more because it puts me in bed for a week.
Where are you located? Are you in Texas?
Yes, sir. When this first happened, I lived right outside of Corpus Christi.
Okay. And
now I'm in the valley, closer to Mexico.
Okay. Is Ginger and Mary, is there anything that we can do here for Carla? Because obviously she can't go to medical practitioners and get help.
I have to say this. Mary and Ginger have helped me so much more than any physician or medical person ever has. I would not have the mental stability that I have this day without them.
All right. Carla, I wish you good luck, and we'll make sure that you get the help you need. And
thank you so much. And I would like to say, please donate to the Morgellons research.
All right.
Anyone that's listening, that is something greatly needed, because you never know when you're in a store and you may pass one of us.
Well, and yeah, and it doesn't, people don't get overly concerned until something affects them directly.
Right,
exactly.
And all of you Texans should definitely contact Senator Cornyn, because we have handed a lot of information over to him recently, and he has contacted the Centers for Disease Control and has told the people who have contacted him that he will update them. So we're waiting to see
yes,
what happens.
Okay. I myself am one of them.
All right. Carla, again,
yes,
good luck, and we'll make sure that you get some help.
Thank you, and I do appreciate the service you're doing for us.
Well, we're all we have.
And thank you for that, and I love you, Mary and Ginger.
I love you, sweetie.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. I have somebody else online from North Carolina, Vicki, that has Morgellons. Hello, Vicki.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, as well as can be expected, I guess.
What we've been talking about, you've had ample time to listen to the program.
Yes.
Ditto in your case? Creepy
Absolutely.
Crawlies, skin
yes.
lesions?
Absolutely.
Mental fog?
Absolutely,
proceed.
And I've spoken with Mary on several occasions, so she kind of knows my history. But I've been to a doctor of internal medicine and had a punch biopsy done of my skin lesions, which came back positive for a bacterial infection, but they cannot say what it is. It's unidentifiable. So, and I just picked up my lab reports today. I do have an appointment with a Lyme specialist March 31st here in Huntersville, North Carolina. But I feel so isolated and alone here because I guess there are not too many people in North Carolina that have this.
Well, and if they do, it's not being readily identified, so how do we know how many people do and do not have it?
Well, exactly. And I have set up a web page myself to try to raise awareness. I've written letters to Senator Elizabeth Dole, to Sue Myrick, to the medical editor here at the Charlotte Observer, which basically turned me down and said she didn't have time to look into this right now.
At least she was honest with you.
That's true. But I'm trying my best to raise as much awareness as I can here.
What is your website?
It is www.caringbridge, that's caringbridge.org/NC/, and this is my nickname, Vicky Chicky, VickiChicki.
Okay, one more time on the website, caringbridge.org/NC/, and what was the last part?
VickiChicki. Vicky Chicky.
All right. Well, you know, maybe we should rename this disease and give it a cutesy name. Maybe it'll make it more acceptable to people out there. Morgellon sounds somewhere between mortality and something else.
Or something from Mars.
Yeah, something from Mars. Now, I've got, and Vicky, how are you doing right now? Are you on any course of treatment? How are you physically doing right now?
The doctor has had me on 3 different antibiotics, which have done nothing for the lesions. I keep getting new lesions. I'm very tired. Saturday, I felt like I wanted to jump out of my skin with the creepy crawlies. I did buy some Dermoplast, which has helped a little bit. I've been taking Epsom salt baths with tea tree oil,
right,
which seemed to help a little bit.
Well, what that basically does, though, it just quiets the skin condition.
Right.
I mean, it gives you some temporary relief. It's in by no means curing you.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to build my immune system with a lot of supplements. I met with a nutritionist today. I've also had the chest thing that I've heard people talk about. Before my lesions ever broke out, I was having the dry cough that I heard people speak of, a constant kind of runny nose, which I didn't have a cold, so that didn't make any sense.
Right. Well, by the way, for our affiliates out there, we're skipping the last break here, so we've got phone calls we need to get to. I've got Cindy Casey. She's a registered nurse. She is also online. Vicky, is there anything, Mary, here's a question I guess I have for you. We have these people that are suffering from this. We know that there are certain drugs out on the market that will help them. How can these people, if they can't get a prescription, they can't get the doctor to believe them, how do they ever get a prescription for something to help them get rid of it?
Well, I see this whole situation as being the problem of the health departments. I think that they did not do a good job with this disease at all, and they have known for years about this disease. They may not have been presented it on a silver platter, but just about. So I feel as though it's the responsibility of the health departments at the state and federal levels to help these people because, no, the private physicians are not equipped to know what this is. They're not recognizing it. They're assuming that people are delusional, and the health departments, if they research it, they can disseminate this information to the private physicians, and this will help the patients.
Well, and also, I'm sure the preliminary research documentation that could be at least put in the medical journals.
Right.
I mean, this is something real. It's identifiable, but you have to know what you're looking for specifically in order to find it. So, I mean, are they not conducive to putting this in medical journals?
They are really having a difficult time in general
seeing this as a true disorder, so they're not researching it. It really is a catch-22 for the patients. The threads, the fibers, are always assumed to be from clothing, and they're not. We've ruled that out many, many times, and many people have done that. But I guess until this gets to be common knowledge among physicians, that's what's going to happen. People will be turned away.
All right.
And, Mary, as we talked about, I've found the fibers all over my house.
Right.
Not just on myself, but all over my house.
Right.
All right. Well, Vicki, good luck. You're in touch with some very good people. You hang in there.
Thank you.
All right. And your website, again, I'll repeat that, is caringbridge.org/NC/VickiChicky.
Correct.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. I appreciate you calling in. Cindy Casey online, registered nurse. Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi. And you wanted to say?
I am a registered nurse in San Francisco, and I've been to over 7 dermatologists and infectious disease doctors here, and I've also been diagnosed as being delusional and self-mutilating, and it wasn't until I learned of Ginger Savely. I'm now a patient of Ginger's, so it was good just to get some validation that this is very real. It's very frightening. So many doctors don't look at it, I think, because one reason is it doesn't produce a white count like a normal infection would.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, these patients normally don't have a white count like most bacterial infections would produce, and oftentimes there's no fever associated with it. And I think that's why I've been ignored by infectious disease departments everywhere. They just see that this must be a psychosomatic illness.
So you're in the medical field.
I am in the medical field.
You are a trained professional, and when I say trained professional, because you people have been taking more of the workload off of doctors now for a number of years, you people would almost be, in my book, qualified to be physicians.
Yes, and that's why I couldn't believe that the doctors wouldn't listen to me, because at my work, I work in an ICU that's very high acuity. I'm used to working directly with doctors. They listen to my descriptions of everything, and I was so shocked, surprised, devastated by the fact that not one of them will listen to me when I describe this, and they won't look close enough to see it themselves. All they need to do is look, and they won't look.
This has got to be one of the most terrifying things. Number one, I mean, fear, if we understand the situation, if we understand what we're up against, that will belie fear, and that induces a course of action. At least you know, you can dig your heels in, and you can fight it. But I cannot imagine people like yourself, Cindy, or Vicki, or other people that have called into this program, feeling that they're all alone, having these symptoms, being in pain, just isolated, and then nobody listening to you. I mean, except maybe a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
I
cannot imagine this.
It's devastating. And I still work in an ICU, and I constantly have a fear that I will infect someone else. Those patients are very immunocompromised. And
so you're always masked and gowned and gloved?
Always gloved and gown and mask if necessary.
Right. Boy, I... We only have a few minutes here left in this program.
I think it's also one more important thing that the most frequent occupation that we know so far of people who have registered with this disease are nurses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that makes us think that it may be infectious. And the second most common is teachers. So there, again, would be a lot of contact in the community.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because there's a pattern emerging here in the case with Cindy, working in an ICU, and
mm-hmm.
eventually that's where a lot of these people that have Morgellons end up, is in the ICU.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense. Or exposure to a different environment, but many people coming from different stratas in life here. You in school settings, you have different people from different background occupying the same area, and I could see where teachers could be exposed to this. Cindy,
mm-hmm.
We're running out of time here. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, just that I appreciate everything that Mary and Ginger have done for me. I think without them, I feel like Carla, I wouldn't be around now to tell it. So
Well, and at least it did one thing. It validated what you were going
right,
through.
Right, and that's so helpful.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Cindy, and good luck, and I hope to find you one of these days exonerated and disease-free.
Thank you.
And maybe you can wag the proverbial finger in their face one of these days and say, I told you so. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cinder.
Hi.
All right. Steve in Pennsylvania. Steve, you're up next.
John, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, said a couple things today. Sulfur drugs worked. Okay. A friend of mine has been doing some research. He found on the internet that the pathogen is a nematode, and it's associated with cotton. And it, when it goes, a nematode is a worm, and it burrows, worms burrow through the body. And when it leaves a trail, it's, I guess, the effluent, it's like botulism. You don't get sick from the botulism, but bacteria, you get sick from the effluent that it poops out of its body.
Right.
Okay? The sulfur, the children are getting this disease, so that means it's not like AIDS sexually transmitted.
Right.
It's leaving these colored threads. Some are white, some are blue, some are red.
And those,
okay?
You will see that in the Mergellan's Research Foundation.
I know that, John.
Yeah.
I've seen the page. Could that be associated with this worm is eating cotton, and it's eating blue cotton and white cotton and red cotton sometimes. And it's pooping out this thing like a worm poops out the worm casing.
Yeah, Mary, I guess that's a legitimate question.
Thirdly, John.
Yes.
This gentleman called up before. He said he could see this organism with his pocket microscope from Radio Shack. He could see this thing. It's not a bacteria. It could it could be this worm that was infected. Could it be that we're getting maybe biowarfare with Chinese cotton?
Don't know
how
to answer
that. Or some
other
kind of clothes where they're dusting it, or they're dusting it on chairs that people are sitting on in a restaurant.
We could go on with conjecture for 20 minutes, but I don't know the answer to that.
And then the lady said she sees.
I don't know the answer to that. Mary or Ginger, anything on that?
I'll leave that to Mary.
Okay.
I really don't know anything about that. I wish that I could say that I do, but I don't.
It would make perfect sense if it was munching down on something and it was a dye lot, and you know that would make sense. But to me, it doesn't strike me as being plausible. Brenda in Tennessee. Hello, Brenda.
Hi. Thank you. I wanted to know if you think that all fibromyalgia is coming from there.
You know, that is a really good question, because I can tell you that about half of the people that have Morgellons skin lesions have fibromyalgia and had fibromyalgia years before, some 10 or 15 years before the skin lesions broke out. We look at the skin lesions as just a clue that something infectious is going on in the body, and it's sometimes in the later stages, sometimes early, but many times people have had either fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome for years before the skin lesions began. I think it very seriously needs to be looked at whether or not that's involved.
Out of time. Brenda, I appreciate your call. Mary Leto, Morgellons Research Foundation, Dr. Buckner, Associate Director, Ginger Savely. She's down here in Austin helping people. We've got this posted on our website, and we will be in contact with you folks for follow-ups on this. I thank you all.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.